Hey, welcome to the new CNADHD podcast. I'm your host, Liz Lewis, and I don't want to produce another boring podcast.
My goal is to bring together the best experts and the best information about ADHD and to make it understandable and actionable.
Welcome, welcome. This is the CNADHD podcast. I am your host, Liz Lewis. I am on my own for episode 307. As you know, I don't always like doing episodes on my own, but I have some really fun guests coming up, and this one has been sort of sitting in my mind for a while. I've talked about anxiety before. I've admitted to my anxiety issues, my OCD issues, and I have yet to meet a person with ADHD who does not have some level of anxiety. In fact, most of the people I talk to and the women in my community were diagnosed with anxiety and or depression before ADHD ever even came into the picture. I've actually written pretty extensively on this topic on the website, but again, it's one of those perennial ADHD issues that I feel like we need to discuss a little bit more openly. So I believe I have 5 or 6 points here I want to make. We'll see how this goes. So ADHD and anxiety travel together. For many of us, it gets worse at different times in our life. It depends on the demands that are being placed on you, and it makes sense because the older you get, the more your responsibilities increase, and the higher the level of demand on your executive function. Anxiety increases, and sometimes we develop some strategies around anxiety, and some of them are good strategies, and some of them not so much. Couple statistics for you. According to the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, 19% of the adult U.S. population is living with a diagnosable anxiety disorder, meaning it is actually affecting their life. 19%! That's a lot of people. Within the ADHD population, 70% of us are living with anxiety, depression, or both, or some other comorbid condition. ADHD never travels alone, and anxiety and depression are the two big ones. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm pretty sure I've had anxiety most of my life, and I can think back to my childhood, and there are lots of examples of behaviors and experiences and things that I'm pretty sure I had anxiety then. But I'm going to tell you this story about after my son was born, because I think it kind of exemplifies the experience of a lot of different women with ADHD. So when my son was a couple months old, I always tell people I was faking it. I was faking my way through life as a new mom. I wanted to be a happy new mom, because when I looked around, everyone else with babies seemed to be really, really happy. And my baby was very high needs, very demanding. He had some sensory issues and he screamed a lot. In fact, I'm pretty sure he screamed when he wasn't nursing almost nonstop. And then he would sleep in very short bursts. And I was really miserable. And I kind of dug in my heels and I wanted to fake it. I looked at the other moms around me. Some of them had 2 and 3 kids, and I decided if I did what they did that I would start to feel better. So I started to work out a lot, and then I, you know, started to compare myself to all of them, of course. They all looked really good. Started to work out, and I didn't really talk to anyone about it. I think I told my husband, "Wow, I'm really struggling." And I mean, he was very sympathetic, but I also felt like I had no excuse for this beyond the hormonal stuff, the ADHD thing. But I remember nursing him and thinking about how he cried a lot, I cried a lot. And I just kept thinking, how is this? I mean, I know I have this ADHD thing, but is that really what this is? Like, is this just amplified, or what is going on with me? And why am I future tripping? I always say future tripping, picturing my future and not liking the looks of it. And I came to the conclusion one afternoon that I definitely needed to address the ADHD And I definitely needed to do something about this anxiety because it was the coping mechanisms I had developed before having my son were not working. And I was on the verge of some kind of meltdown, and I didn't know, I wanted to get on top of it. I didn't know what was going to happen if I didn't. So that's my story about anxiety. That was when it really came to a head, although it's never gone away. But I'm going to make a few points here about ADHD and anxiety that I think are sort of important to be aware of. First, there's a lot of talk right now about ADHD, anxiety, and hypersensitivity. Hypersensitivity is really, really common, I'm noticing, in a lot of us. It's also really common in people with anxiety, even if they don't have ADHD. I feel like some of us are almost empathic in a lot of ways. We sometimes can read a room or feel these emotions, and it's really hard. Or sometimes we have trouble reading other people and we don't sense the mood or the tone. Either way, we can be really, really sensitive. And there's a book about this. I forget the author. It's called Too Loud, Too Fast, Too Tight. Oh, I'll try to link to it in the show notes, fancy show notes. One of my things is I don't like crowded places and loud noises. I don't. I didn't always know that was hypersensitivity, but I don't. I don't like loud noises. I'm an introvert, so new people, it's tough for me, and I need rest after I've been exposed to a lot of new people. And they're really, you know, this hypersensitivity stuff, whether it's sensory or it's more of an emotional thing, there really isn't a treatment for hypersensitivity. But having some self-awareness, knowing what you need and what works for you is really a big deal. I can't stress that enough. Self-awareness is not easy, but it's possible. It's an ongoing everyday practice. I have a post on this. Oh yes, if I remember, I will link to my self-awareness post as well. Okay, second point, I want to keep moving. A lot of us have issues with negative rumination. We are up in our heads. We are up in our heads all the time. I'm going to make an episode about negative self-talk and externalizing it because I'm all about talking to myself. But we'll talk about that some other day. A lot of us spend a lot of time thinking about the past and thinking about the future. I know that's how the human brain works. But if you really think about it, we spend all this time reliving the past and all this time being afraid of the future. And that ruminating sort of thing, I wish it was productive. I wish it was problem solving, but it usually isn't. If you're just constantly living in the past, then that's probably not going to help your anxiety. And this is where things like therapy are really helpful. Anyway, and also we with ADHD, we have all kinds of issues with cognitive distortions. And oh my gosh, I have a post on that too. Wow, I'm covering my own material here really well. Okay, number three, perfectionism. Ugh. I see this all the time, and I don't think normally people associate perfectionism with ADHD, but it is so, so, so common. We are perfectionists, not all, but a lot of us, and it plays a huge role in anxiety. So this is what I always tell people. If you can't see a middle ground, you might be a perfectionist. Like if you were looking at things and you don't see the middle ground, okay, I can compromise. I can go halfway here. If you can't see the positive attributes in yourself or maybe other people, I notice when we're really critical of others, often we're perfectionists. Just saying. If you have really unrealistic expectations for yourself, if you're trying to learn to do something new, if you're trying to be a podcaster and you know you expect everything to be perfect, you might be a perfectionist. And the other thing that I notice a lot, especially with ADHD folks who are perfectionists, is we expect immediate gratification. I should just learn how to do a podcast in a day, and it should be perfect, edited perfectly. My intro and my outro should be perfect, and everybody should listen to me, right? Like, it should be awesome, right? And then when it doesn't happen, I get all crazy up in my head. Anyway, Yeah, perfectionism, terrible for anxiety. Okay, I want to talk about future tripping and negative feedback. There is this statistic about people growing up with ADHD, something like we receive something 50,000 extra negative messages growing up. And, you know, I'm sure I did too, and it definitely affected me. This criticism, the negativity, some of us have a really sensitive nature. It can produce a lot of anxiety. For me, this results in what I call future tripping, where I spend a lot of time anticipating rejection. It took me 4 years to email some of my favorite ADHD experts and ask to collaborate because in my brain, I just assumed that I was going to get rejected or they were going to look at my website and say, you suck. Like, I'm not talking to you. And this future tripping, this fear of negative feedback, it's kind of interesting. One of my therapists said to me one time, and I also saw this quoted somewhere, that you cannot assume that the whole world will treat you the way your family of origin treated you. And that's really powerful if you think about it. But I think so much of our anxiety is driven by this fear of negative feedback. Like, I've had really brilliant women tell me that they don't speak up in work meetings because they're just afraid that their idea will get shot down. And again, that's future tripping, but that's that fear of rejection. And rejection-sensitive dysphoria is such a big, I don't even want to say talking point right now. I believe in RSD big time. I know what that feels like. But I also wish it wasn't pulled out all the time. Anyway, but RSD has a lot to do with anxiety. Okay, I'm going to move on from this negative feedback stuff. Ugh, too much negativity. The other thing that I see a lot of, and it's anxiety related, is this avoidant behaviors and avoidant even thinking. This is a good way to frame this. If someone asks you to do something, volunteer at the book fair at your kid's school, and you know you don't want to do it, and the day they're asking you to do it really isn't that convenient, are you able to say, no, thank you? Are you conflict avoidant? Because I am. Because they do that to me all the time at my kid's school, because I can't say no. It has a lot to do with avoidance. Avoidant people have trouble with personal boundaries. Oh my gosh. I don't know anybody with ADHD who's good at setting boundaries, personal boundaries. I really don't. You can't say no. You're people pleasing. Oh, people pleasing. Yeah. People pleasing is a form of avoidance, you know. I'm just telling you, just so you just ponder that for a minute. If you deliberately avoid even thinking about certain topics, that's pretty avoidant. It's like, oh my gosh, if I contemplate X, Y, and Z, what's going to happen? I don't know. The other thing is when you don't say no, when you avoid saying no and you say yes or okay, and then you don't follow through, that's actually avoidance. And then it causes all these problems because people get way more mad when you don't show up or you blow it off or whatever, because you didn't want to do it in the first place. People get super mad about that. And then the cycle sort of perpetuates, the avoidance cycle. I'm going to avoid confrontation. I'm going to avoid saying no. I want to please everybody, but I'm going to blow it off and pretend I forgot. Or maybe I didn't really forget. I forgot to remember. I don't know. Anyway, avoidance. I see this a lot in myself too. And it hurts other people and it feels like crap. It's a terrible cycle. So this is the deal. I don't like long podcasts unless they have a really juicy guest. But anyway, if you have ADHD, you probably have some level of anxiety. And if you don't have it now, you'll probably have it in 6 months. I found a book and it's not written for ADHD, but I really, really like it. It's by a Dr. Alice Boyes. I believe she's British. And she talks a lot in this book about internal changes, ways of thinking. She's a cognitive behavioral therapist. And external changes in our lives. I will link to this book. It is called The Anxiety Toolkit. And I love this book. even though, like I said, it's not about ADHD. I love it. It has great stuff in it, and it's very accessible the way it's written. It's very easy to understand. So this is the thing. ADHD, anxiety, it's like a sandwich. They just go together like peanut butter and jelly. And the more you can learn about yourself and your emotions and, you know, how you think and how ADHD impacts you, whether it's anxiety or something else, the more you can learn, the more empowered you will feel. And honestly, isn't really empowered acceptance what we're looking for? I think that's what we're all looking for. And that makes me think I need to have one of my friends on. Oh, I just thought of this. I'm going to have him on and we're going to talk about empowered acceptance. All right. I hope this was easy for you to understand, easy for you to take in. Do you want me to review the five? Hold on. I'll go through. Five things about anxiety. Hypersensitivity. It's an issue. Negative rumination. Oh God. Perfectionism. Fear of negative feedback. What I call future tripping. Avoidant behavior. Personal boundaries, all of it. It's a hot mess. I will link to everything I talked about in the fancy show notes and, you know, leave me reviews on iTunes. I think you have to go into iTunes on your web browser to do that. I don't know. Stick around. I am so excited for some of the guests that I have coming up. And like I always say, we are stronger together.